Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
The Bible tells us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Spread the good news. Evangelize. Advance the agenda of the kingdom of heaven. But once again, to do all of this, you will need to fight. Now, I believe we need to pay attention to Paul's writings in Ephesians, which are of great help in this matter. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand firm." The emphasis here are the final three words of this passage: to stand firm. This is a faith-filled stance. This is nonviolent resistance. This goes back to the days of the Israelites, where in Exodus 14, verse 14, Moses gives his people an assurance from God: "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." We fight not through violence and anger, vengeance and justice. We fight through simultaneous stubbornness and submission. Stubbornness against this world and against the spiritual attacks from the adversary, and submission to God's will. It is in that submission where our Father takes up the fight for us. The Bible also tells us who the enemies are and how the opposition we're facing is a force to be reckoned with. In a nutshell, we're not fighting against other people. We're fighting against cosmic forces that are invisible to us. Hebrews 11 is our conviction that these invisible forces exist. Yes, sometimes people are the front from which the assault comes, but they are not the root cause. The root cause is the father of lies himself, Satan, and he uses lies to prompt people to make terrible decisions. This knowledge is part of how we can love others as Jesus loved them. When we become aware of who is at the root of evil, we're enabled to act out of love for the person rather than the emotions caused by their actions. It doesn't remove responsibility for their choices. Jesus never withheld the truth about people's decisions, but it does give us emotional space to love and forgive them. Now, the resistance to us loving and forgiving freely comes from both our flesh and this world. They are not the root cause for battle, but they play a large role. We're not to conform to the ways of the world, nor are we to live by the flesh, but those are the visible forces here. Culture and so-called human nature are the things that seem to hinder us the most. Yet, fighting the good fight means living and acting totally against both culture and emotion. The biggest fights often rage within ourselves as we try to follow God's commands. It is for this reason the law of the Old Testament exists. We need guideposts to explain to us how to live counterculturally because our own bodies revolt when we try. That being said, the law alone is not enough to guarantee a life of faith. By itself, religious obedience is not enough to give us the power of love or the power to love. As Paul wrote in Romans, the law of sin and death could not do away with sin. More powerful is the law of the Spirit, rather, to give us the love and strength to do what God does. And He loves. In love, we don't yell or demand or hold debts over our neighbors. In love, we're patient and kind and generous. And in love, we hold to the existence of God and the death and resurrection of Christ, no matter the cost to ourselves. In love, our selfish desires burn in service to others. in love, we share this good news, the best news, that there is a means of living other than pain and rejection. For God is love, and He provided His Holy Spirit to give us access to that love. By God's love, let's stand firm and fight this good fight of faith to the far reaches of eternity. There are two ways of knowing God. We either know Him through His Word, we know Him through what the Bible reveals about Him. The other way that we can know God is through personal experience. It's when God Himself visits you and reveals who He is to you. This is why James 4, verse 8 calls us to come close to God with a contrite heart, and He will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. This is so that we can know God. You see, God is the author of reality. He is the Alpha and Omega, the great I Am. He is the supreme being. And there is nothing that one can do to know about God's nature unless God Himself reveals Himself. Now, although the Word of God has taught us about the nature of God, you and I need to know God on a personal level. We need to seek to thirst and hunger for an encounter with Him. We need to be desperate to know the Lord, to be desperate for an experience and a personal revelation with God Almighty. Moses in Exodus 33, verse 18, had a very powerful request. The Bible says that Moses went on to ask God, "Show me your glory." In other words, Moses was asking God to show Himself to him, to make an appearance to him. Have you ever had a burning desire to know the Lord like that? Have you ever had your heart cry for the Lord to reveal Himself to you? Now, Scripture teaches us that God is a spirit being. In John 4, verse 24, the Bible describes God by saying, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." So from this we understand that God is not a spirit, rather He is spirit. Spirit is His nature. He is not a physical being. He is not like those mythical paintings and drawings that we've seen of a giant man with long hair sitting on a cloud of lightning. When you understand this, when you understand John 4:24, that God is spirit and that He has no physical form, then you will understand the seriousness of idolatry. The Amplified Translation for Exodus 20, verse 4 says, "You shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness form, manifestation of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth as an object to worship." Because God has no physical form, we are not to make any idols or images of Him. This is because He is too holy to be resembled. He is too perfect and righteous for us as humans to attempt to recreate Him and reduce Him to something we think or imagine. And so this is very important to remember. When you get to know God through His Word, then you begin to have knowledge and understanding, meaning that you will stay away from idolatry in any form. As you continue to develop a relationship with God, you will make the connection that since God is spirit, and when we're saved, it's not our physical body that's born again, but it's our spirit, therefore you cannot worship the Lord in spirit and in truth unless you are truly born again, unless your spirit has become regenerated. And it's only when your spirit is connected to God that you can understand and live in the truth of Galatians 5, verse 16, which says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The Word of God also teaches us that God is light. The Amplified Translation for 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message of God's promised revelation, which we have heard from Him and now announce to you, that God is light. He is holy. His message is truthful. He is perfect in righteousness, and in Him there is no darkness at all, no sin, no wickedness, no imperfection." Notice all of the attributes about God that we're given. It's not that He has light. God is light. That's His nature. He is holy. He is perfect in righteousness. He has no darkness, no sin, no wickedness, and no imperfection. From this, we have to understand that God does not tolerate any sin or any darkness in our lives. This is why it is so important to repent. Repentance is needed because without turning away from your sin, you cannot experience the light of God. Without removing yourself from those hidden sinful behaviors or friends, you cannot be in God's presence. As believers, we need to dwell in the light of God because the Bible says that He has delivered us from darkness into His marvelous light. God is light and the light in our lives. Now, as you get to know the Lord, you will undoubtedly experience His love, an overwhelming and pure, unconditional love. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. This love includes other attributes or characteristics of God, including grace, kindness, and mercy. I love how the Bible says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" God has this intense affection for you and me, and it is this love that made him to give his precious Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and die for our sins. God's love for you and me is unconditional. You and I did nothing, nor can we do anything, that would make us deserving of the Lord's love. It's not because you look good, it's not because you're fun to be around and you have a good sense of humor. The Bible says while we were yet still sinners, God loved us. We can choose to experience who God is each day by practicing His Word. When we become a doer of the Word, we can begin to know God. When the fear of the Lord is in our hearts, then we can begin to know God. When we devote ourselves to living a prayerful life, then we will get to know the Lord. And of course, as we devote ourselves to meditating and reading the Word of God, we will undoubtedly get to know Him. There was once a young man in college who majored in psychology. He needed to take 3 credits worth of music class. Instead of taking 1 3-credit class, he decided to take a drumming class that the school offered. He planned to take it for 3 semesters, which would get him 3 credits. He was not very musically inclined, but that didn't matter. After 1 semester of classes, he didn't get much better. After 2 semesters of classes, he still didn't make very much progress. By the end of the 3rd year of classes, he was barely able to make a steady beat. After the 3rd semester, the drum teacher sat down to talk to him and asked, "Why do you think you didn't make much progress over your 3 semesters? The young man didn't know how to respond. He thought his lack of growth was due to his natural ability. The teacher said, "I already know the answer. You don't practice." You see, this young man did not grow because he didn't put in the work to get better. And many people wonder why they're not growing in their relationship with the Lord. The reason may be that they are not putting in the work to grow in a greater understanding of the Lord. God made us in such a way that we need to seek Him daily. By seeking God daily, we grow in a relationship with Him. The Lord reminds us often in Scripture of our daily need for Him. While Jesus was praying the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 11, He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Many of us live in a time and country where we don't need to worry about getting our daily food. We can go to the store and buy enough food for weeks. We can then go home and store that food in a refrigerator. However, the crowd that Jesus was talking to didn't have that privilege. They didn't have access to stores or ways to store mass amounts of food for long periods of time. They often had to wait for God to provide food for them the day they ate. They needed to seek God daily for provisions. The children of Israel were in this exact spot when traveling through the wilderness. They needed food. However, God didn't open up a grocery store for them in the middle of the desert. God did not miraculously tie their stomachs so that they wouldn't need any food. Instead, He gave them just enough bread for them to survive each day. manna fell from heaven daily. They had to look to God daily. Exodus 16, verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. People are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.' If they ended up taking more than what they needed for the day, the bread would become uneatable. He gave them just enough bread each day so that the people of Israel would take time to seek the Lord each day. Seeking God every day should be the way of life for a Christian. God commands us to seek Him daily and not even to worry about tomorrow. As Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, He says in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Since tomorrow is not promised, God wants us to focus on trusting Him today, in the moment. We do this by running to God daily. We may worry about a health crisis or a financial situation, but God wants us to trust Him in those daily moments instead of worrying about what could or will happen. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God has given us enough mercy in the day to make it to the end. Why worry about life when God gives us new mercy each morning when we seek Him? The book of 1 Chronicles actually takes it a step further. 1 Chronicles 16, 10 to 11 says, "Glory is His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." Not only should we seek the Lord daily, but also seek Him continually. There is no place you can go or hide where God is not with you. He is an ever-present God. That means we can seek His presence in the car, at the store, on a walk, or as we lay in bed. Due to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have continual access to God. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," verse 22 says, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Since we can draw near to God because of the blood of Jesus, then we should continually take advantage of it and seek His power daily. The college student I mentioned earlier wanted to become a great drum player. He had dreams of starting a rock band and becoming a rock legend, yet he was not willing to put in the work to become that. After 3 semesters of practice, he could only play a couple of simple beats. He didn't put in the work to grow. Great swimmers don't become great swimmers after a couple of days of work. It takes a lifetime of daily work. Usain Bolt did not become the fastest man alive by simply running for a few weeks. It took years of daily dedication. The same is true for those who want to grow in Christ. We cannot only go to church once a week and think we're going to grow. It takes daily time with the Lord to grow as a Christian. As you daily seek the Lord, it shapes your character. You develop a strong backbone. God takes you from one level to another. So, in summary, by seeking the Lord daily, by praying daily, by yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit daily, you will become more Christ-like. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." This is God's word to you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will finish the work He called you to do. Everything God has for us is contained in these simple words: "I will never leave you." Whatever you need from the Lord, He will supply it because He will never leave you. If you feel inadequate, that's good because you will depend even more on the Lord. God never starts anything He does not finish. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as children of God, we ought to know this.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.